from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that's here for you, daytime or nighttime. Whenever you need it, you call the show up in your podcast app of choice, and it'll be here to give you a little distraction, to give you a little comfort, to give you a little bit of lulls. To try to bring a safe place to wherever you are. So I'm here for you, and I'm sending this podcast across the deep, dark night. It'll be here. And if you're new, you might be wondering what I'm rambling about. Well, that was about as serious as this podcast gets, because now eventually it could be time for me to go off topic, which I'm already doing, and meander, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots. A lot of these episodes were recorded a few months ago. So before we get to the sleepy supporter zone, I just wanted to check in with you and let you know the podcast is going to be here twice a week for you on our regular Sunday, Wednesday schedule. Daytime or nighttime, whenever you need it, you could call it up if you need a break or you need some rest. But you might be out there and you might need something more. So I'm going to have links to support, and I'm going to be collecting new links and stuff. Right now, I'm going to put them in the show notes. So if you find you need to reach out somewhere for help, I'll have links to different places you could do that. And as I hear about more and more resources, I'll try to build a page or something for that. But for now, they'll be in the show notes. Because the podcast is here for you to support you and take your mind off of stuff. But if you need more support, it's out there for you. So please reach out and use those links if you need them. And if you know of any other resources, let me know. Thanks so much. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Which, just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking... If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now. And the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, where we celebrate the Sleepy supporters who supported the sponsors, who support the podcast, so it's free for everybody. So I want to thank Sammy, Brian, Eric, Naomi, and Ruth, who all supported Native. Let's, we see, who smell, who, why is there so many people smelling so good? And what better time to smell good than right now? So I want to thank Sammy, Brian, Eric, Naomi, and Ruth for supporting Native, for letting them and letting me know about it so I could thank them. If you support a sponsor, do the same thing. Tag them in a post, tag me so I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. But I also want to let you know about a different kind of support that's out there. There's going to be links in the show notes for anyone out there who needs a link to some support right now. There'll be links in the show notes. You could find them. They'll be at the top of the show notes. If you're out there and you need to reach out to someone for support, I have links to resources in the show notes because I want to make sure you get the care and support you need because that's really the support this podcast is about. The podcast is here to support good night's sleep, and I'm supporting you taking good care of yourself, okay? So that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And no better time than to sign up for the Sleep With Me newsletter at sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. I'm going to eventually be putting a lot of communication through there. So if you want to hear updates about the show or the classes I'm going to be doing on live streams, sign up for the newsletter. Eventually you get it. It probably won't be this week or next week, but sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things on your mind. It could be feelings or emotions coming up for you, physical sensations, you know, changes in time or, you know, unpredictable things or predictable things or predictions. I guess I'm not 100% sure what a predilection is, is that like a preference? I don't know. I should probably Google it, huh? But whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do, I'm here to keep you company and distract you. So I have a safe place set aside here, plenty of room for you. And in fact, this safe place is returnable and transferable and portable. So you could have it where you are. I'm going to send it via my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders. So creaky dulcet is a tone of my voice. You say it's not sweet because, you know, something sweet might keep you awake. But, it's, you know, it's not sweet, but it's a bit creaky. Okay, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders. That's where I go off topic. Superfluous tangents, that's where I expound once I'm off topic. Superfluous tangent, a bunch of other stuff. Really what I'm here to do is keep you company as you fall asleep. So if you're new, right away, before I go off topic, hopefully I could tell you a couple things that might be helpful. One, if you're new and you're doubtful or skeptical or unsure, that is a totally natural, normal reaction to the show, how most people approach it at first. And I'm not trying to talk you out of that. If someone was going to tell me they were going to put me to sleep, I'd say, really? What, you know, something like that. I'd say, you don't say. So that's normal, totally legitimate. So what would I, not to like make you skeptical. I forgot what I was going to say after that. So if you're skeptical or deptical, no doubt about it. That makes sense. One thing is you kind of approach this podcast in a loose way. If you're new, like almost like holding sand in your hand, like I always forget if it's sieve or sieve. Been a while since those were, you know, those are two twins in an alternative universe in my mind. Good old Steve and Siv. Steve and Siv, maybe would they be Stevenson, Samuelson? Steve and Siv, though, I forgot their last name. Those two are always, they're actually, the most famous, they help conduct traffic. Oh, but I was using them as examples. So if you're new, kind of let the podcast kind of flow. Like, don't try to figure it out. If you do, or if you say, well, I'm going to pay attention here and wait for the sleepy stuff, it's more like this is a cloud or like sand going through your hands. It's like sand in the hourglass. Yeah, whatever they used to say on that show. Maybe that's the sands of our, you know, whatever. So try to consume this podcast loosely or a little bit out of focus. So no, this is the one podcast you don't really need to listen to. You may discover after you become a regular listener that you like how you'd like to listen. Some people listen. Some people don't listen. Some people turn me down to a mumble. Some people fall asleep in 2 minutes. Some people fall asleep in 20 minutes. Some people fall asleep after an hour. Some people listen all night. So you'll kind of discover what works and might be different every night. I mean, that's how it is for me sometimes. So I forgot what my point was. No pressure to fall asleep. No pressure to listen. Also, no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the podcast is about an hour is because I'm here to keep you company till you drift off. Or if you can't drift off, I'm here to keep you company all night long. If you need it, you say, well, I can't fall asleep, Scoots. I say, don't worry, I'm here for you. I'm your bore bud. So no pressure to fall asleep, no pressure to listen. Structurally, if you're new, that can also throw new listeners off. So I just want to give you, like, it's a little, you say, it's a little late already, Scoots. They say, okay, well, the show starts off with business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody versus it being a paid service or an app you buy. I want it free for everybody as a podcast. That's just what I found over the past over 6 years works best. So there's business, then there's an intro. The intro can also throw new people off because it's like around, so there's like maybe 2 to 4 minutes of business. Then there's like this wacky intro. I don't know how wacky it is, but some people say that. And the intro gives you a chance for most listeners, like I said, as you discover how you like to use the show, to wind down, to get in bed. Like an old familiar friend shows up. You know, old Scoots Magoots, but I'm not in cahoots. I say that all the time because I do not do it. Like you say, oh, wait, that's my friend that shows up that I don't have to pay attention to. I don't have to entertain. I don't have to actively or even pretend I'm listening at all. Scoots will talk. And the only sound effects I have to make are if for my own comfort. You say, but maybe sometimes that's comforting for you. You say, Scoots, oh boy, did you not know what predilection was? Oh, okay. And so that's, you don't have to listen to me, or like, you don't have to entertain me, no crumbs, and no, like, you don't have to worry if my shoes are on or off. They're off, by the way, I have socks on, or, you know, anything else. Like I'm just here for you. So what was my point about that? Oh, that's with the intro. So the intro is a familiar friend. And it gives you a chance to unwind, whether you're getting ready for bed or you're in bed. Because this is, I guess it's not really my theory. It's something I strongly believe in, is that, you know, bedtime is a bit of a process. And it could take a little while. And my job is to be comforting and friendly and distracting during that wind down process so you can drift off. You know, there may be other things that say, you know, oh boy, I can get you to sleep in, you know, the count of 30, or, you know, I'm going to do this and this, and then you'll be asleep. I can't make that promise. All I can promise is that I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep. So that's why the intro is so long, because a lot of times new listeners, well, they're not listeners. They're like one time or two time listeners. They say, well, I don't like this intro. Is it, they're not sure what it is because it's different, and that's understandable. And you could also skip ahead. There's about 2% of listeners that skip to 20 minutes. They start the show around 20 minutes and they listen from there. Or there's patrons, people that support the show, and they listen to story only episodes, which is a similar process. So that's the intro. It's just me talking a lot as your boyfriend. Just like I said, if you could, just like a friend, just like I was on call, you say, Scooch, could you come over and talk about nothing for about 20 minutes and then leave? And I'd say, no problem. Just set your sleep timer for 30 or whatever. Consider it done. So that's the intro. Then tonight will be a story, our ongoing, one time episodically modular series, Get Pesos, which you can listen to in any order anyway. So, and then there's some thank yous. Also, there's business between the intro and the story. That's just kind of how podcasting works. Just like that's where it's got to go. So that's the structure of the show. And the reason I make the show is because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. One. But two, I also believe that if you get a good night's sleep, you'll be rested. You'll be in a better place. Your life will be a little bit better. And your world and the world at large will be a better place. So that's a good thing. In my opinion, some people might say, well, I'd say, well, they can, you know, they, we don't, I'm not going to give them any more airtime, I guess. That's what I'd say. And usually that's just a part of our voices anyway. Like, I don't know. It's been a while since I talked about brain bots. One of the reasons I make the podcast is because I've been there. And one of the reasons I like have trouble getting to sleep, falling asleep, staying asleep, all those things is because of my thought processes. And some of those thought processes, at least to me, feel like they run nearly independently of my center or whatever, my mainframe. Like it's like when you see in those old movies with the spinning tapes or whatever, you say, what are the spinning? I don't even have a password for that thing with the spinning tapes. And you say, oh, well, that's your internal critic. Well, that's your internal critic 001A. And I'd say, well, how many internal critic machines do we have? And they say, well, on this floor or in the entire building? And I'd say, what do you mean? And they'd say, never mind, you're not supposed to think about this kind of stuff anyway. Those aren't brain bots. I guess those are, those were the old-fashioned kind. Those were, what are those called? Brainovacs, which sounds like something different, so I'll just move on. But to me, brain bots are these little unifunction parts of ourselves, or, you know, voices, or personalities, or aspects, or thought processes that kind of scoot around, and they scoot around. And they say, "Hey, what are you doing? Going to sleep?" You say, "Yep, you bet. You. I'm comfortable. I'm snuggled. I'm going to sleep. I'm tired." Really, you're tired? Because I wanted to talk to you. Remember that time? And you say, "No, I don't." Oh, remember that time? It's so. Remember how good I am at telling you about that time and making it really. And you say, "Yeah, I'd rather not think." Oh, did you, and then another thing scoots in, another little computer. a little droid, and they say, "Hey, remember, you know what's coming up? Do you have any idea what's coming up?" And you'd say, "What do you mean? Oh boy, because I got this blinking red light here that says something." And you say, "Okay, I'm trying to go to sleep though. Could we talk about this later?" And then maybe there's one that's a little bit more like it comes over and says, "Hey, did you ever wonder why, you know, waffles are, you know, what's the difference?" You know, he say, "No, I never wondered why." And I say, "Wow, really? That's," and I say, "Well, did you ever wonder why this?" So those are some of my brain bots, just a few, and not to mention the 40 floors in the sub basements full of critics that I have. And the old regret annex, holy cow, I don't even visit there. They just send me the memos. So I'm here to take your mind off of that stuff. You know, I just wanted to introduce you to my own, some of the stuff. And that's where Steve and Civ come in, because they're also good at, like I said, they say, "Hey, saw you scooting over there to talk to your human. Why don't you, hi, I'm Civ. I'm one of the brain bot. I'm new here." "Oh, really? You're new here?" "Yeah. What are you? You some sort of brain bot?" "Oh, yeah, I am. I'm super important." "Well, it looks like you're important. Looked like you were in a real hurry." "Oh, yeah. I was going to go ask my human about that time when they were at work and, you know, the work part." "Oh, you were going to ask them about that, huh? Sounds really important." "Oh, it's so important." "And you were just trying to go over there and let them know, but ask them about that. You know, you're trying to help your human, right?" "Oh yeah, that's my job. I just got this one job, remembering this one thing that happened. And it's really important, and it's important." You say, "Wow, it sounds really important to you too." "Wow, that's what I was going to say. What did you say your name is?" "Oh, I'm Civ. I'm part of the, I'm in the Creaky Dulcet Tones. Do you know what Creaky Dulcet Tones are?" "Yeah, I don't know if I'm not sure about them." "Yeah, no one's ever been sure about them. They're like, that's why they're creaky and dulcet." You say, "Well, it's a little bit of both." "Oh, okay. So I'm Civ. I'm just here. I'm just going to be here. I was just going to be here to talk to you. And we're, you know, do you want to sit down? I'm going to listen to this story." "Wait, you're going to listen to a story? But I got to go tell my human." "Well, I'll tell you what, you could let your human know about this, we could set up an appointment later, but let's listen to the story, Get Bezos. It's barely interesting in creaky dulcet tones." And you say, "Okay, do you happen to have a twin brother named Civ?" "No, Steve. I'm Civ, I think. I forgot, but yeah, no, yeah, I do. I mean, I said no, but I meant yes." "Well, you're a bit like me." "Yeah, I'm just here to let your human slip through our fingers and drift off." So that's kind of how the show works, ideally, and why I make it, because I've been there, and I know how it feels, okay? And I'm hoping to bring a little bit of levity and distraction to bedtime for you. Now, as multiple thousands and thousands of people have said, like, this podcast, one, doesn't work for everybody, but for most people, it works where it takes two or three tries, because it's kind of different. So if you're in a place and you can give it a few tries, go ahead and do so, because I really hope it helps you. So kind of see how it goes. Yeah, it's a bedtime story for grown-ups, a little bit different, and I'm here to help if I can. And I want to tell you, I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you checking the show out or returning time after time. And I really, I want to help. And here's a couple ways we're able to keep the show free for everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. "Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, it's almost time for another episode of Get Bezos. Hold on, everybody, 1 second. Antonio Banderas, our celebrity Usually Antonio's not early. I mean, actually, he gets here normally early, but then I'm already recording, and I tell him not to knock on the door, a little behind the scenes. Antonio Banderas is a very timely person. He just doesn't have all of the workflow down, because he gets here early, but normally I'm already recording. And I have a few rules in place. They say don't knock on the door, don't pace outside the door, don't stand too near the door. You know, don't let my neighbors, you know, come up to you and say, are you, you know, holy cow, are you handsome? You know, are you a movie star? And all that. Also, don't come, you know, around to, like where I'm recording. Text me. Well, that rule, I mean, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not perfect. I used to say, don't text me. And then Antonio would say, well, how will you know I'm here? And I said, well, when I'm ready for it. He said, I thought you were an actor. Like, aren't you, you know, used to being on a call sheet or whatever? And then he explained to me about, you know, the nice trailer and, you know, production. And I said, okay, well, you know, let me put that line item in my budget. And when the budget's filled, I'll let, you know, the production assistant will be there to let you know about it. So then we got a text system down, but then, you know, I have my phone on vibrate and outside. So sometimes I miss his texts. So normally he's really here on time. It's just he's not here in the studio on time because he gets here early, but not so. I mean, in this, again, I guess is my fault. I say don't get here too early because then I got to... you know, I don't know how to deal with other human beings. And you know, when you're on a professional context, I can deal with it. Or if it's after, you know, our workflow, after we play a board game, also part of our workflow. So anyway, I just didn't want Antonio also, you know, like, didn't want to create a buzz around, because there's so much buzz around him. Holy moly. So, without further ado, early on this part, because usually I talk about what's coming up, and then I can take a breath and slow down too. So normally, Antonio is here to introduce our series a little bit out of order. You know, he normally is the one who makes other people feel breathless. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think I can in this case. And you look slightly breathless, Antonio. So, like, you have some sort of news for me. And that's why you're here early. not just because you're here early always, because you're so professional, a pro. I mean, whether you're on a podcast or in a movie or anywhere, I'm sure that's the case. Also, I'm not using irony here or sarcasm. This is a darn truth. Antonio is a pro, always here early, even when he has to drive. Like, he says he uses, you know, apps to make sure he's here early. Because I don't know if you know, I mean, a little more behind the scenes. You know, this is not, I guess it's not pro bono work because you can't write it off your taxes, right, Antonio? No, but it's free work. Like it kind of like an internship. He's in, you know, for podcasting, it's a new industry. I don't know if you probably could get into it without doing this. It's, oh, okay. You'll explain why you do it. Okay. And I forgot what else I was going to say. I was just saying you're always on time. It's just a micromanaging that I guess I assume directors would do. I mean, have you ever been on set and someone said, what's that? Is that your elbow creaking, Antonio? Like the sound person? No, this had never happened before. Well, okay. So normally Antonio would be here after I set up the new our series, but Antonio's here early. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Antonio Banderas here, everybody. Thanks. I'm a little breathless, Scooter. I have some news, but let me go first. As the ladies, as the gentlemen, as the boys, as the girls, the friends beyond the binary, it's time, almost time, for another episode of Get Pesos. Yeah. And Scooter, the reason I do this show is because it brings me joy. Being in your ears, helping Scooter put you all to sleep, it's a pleasure for me. Also, I am on time, Scooter, James Cashpenny and Richard Warren Sears are running behind. So they asked me to ask you to buy them some time as they are on a break. And I know you don't want me on the mic too long because you say my voice is too handsome and distracting. So I'll turn it over to you and I will lie. Thank you also for clearing that up. I am a prompt person. Thank you. Thanks and good night, everybody. Also, hello to Reddit. Okay, thanks, Antonio. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, I'll just set up the series. I'll just set up the next episode. I mean, that's no problem. I mean, what you're listening to, what you're falling asleep to, there's no rush, right? We're all here. There's no buying time or spending time. And as Antonio said, welcome to another episode of Get Besos. It's our episodically modular series, which has had some seriality in the past. Can't avoid seriality, but you could listen to these this season, season three, in any order. And it's called Get Besos. It's a tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny. It's fiction, by the way. These are made, you know, whatever image, like a purely accidental fictional characters, because so it's a tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny. They left the escape from purgatory and returned to Earth to get Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com, who they felt ruined the retail empire. But since we have the time, I might as well run through the first two seasons if I can. So the first season was, Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny were in purgatory or a place similar to it, but depending on your belief system, you know, we may have covered it before. But so they were there in purgatory. They were bored, more or less. You know, it's kind of like a middle place, at least in this one. I don't know if you saw the wonderful TV show, The Good Place, which is now concluded by the time you're hearing this. That had a middle place, too, I guess I'm realizing. It was a little bit different than the middle place on The Good Place. And I haven't seen how The Good Place concludes, so I don't know if they have any more middle places. But this one is like, what's that called? Like sepia, like a world where you say, well, it's not bad, but it's not great. It's definitely... It's just boring. They just kind of sit around. They don't have a lot to do. It's like more like a waiting room, but you have your own room and stuff. Now, Richard Warren Sears and JFK Spenny, Richard Warren Sears in particular, you know, used to live in a certain kind of lifestyle back on Earth. And so, and I guess purgatory or limbo or whatever you want to call it is also, a lot of times these post-Earth worlds get portrayed like there's no we don't bring our humanity with us. Not all of them, like The Good Place that has that, but, you know, sometimes they're like more painted in these, you know, but this one has full humanity, or not full humanity, but basically you could still like say to someone whose job, who happens to be employed by purgatory, you know, I know, like, this is an imaginary conversation Richard Warren Sears had. Well, I think I'm just, let's see, buddy, I'm just going to leave my, $20. I mean, he wouldn't do $20, I'll be honest, or however the money works up there, or over there. I'm just going to leave it on my nightstand. And if there's a newspaper there in the morning, that would be great every morning. You know what I'm saying? So he does that kind of thing where he says, well, if that money's gone and a newspaper's there, everybody would be happy. So he's been able to get certain things that he wanted. And as he got access to the news, this was like 10, I don't know how many years ago the series was, 6 years ago we started it. He was reading about this founder of an imaginary company, Amazon. Jif Bezos, that's J-I-F-S-B-E-S-O-S. And he said, wait a second. He started reading. He said, wait a second. And then he started looking at, you know, his company and so Richard Sears and J.C. Penney and saying, well, they're not doing so great. This was back in the other decade with us, like 2014, 2013. And so he kind of started to build up a resentment towards this Jif. And he decided he wanted to go back to Earth to kind of just teach him, hey, maybe, I don't know. It wasn't like he was like, well, this is a meaning of life. I want to teach you that and not the pursuit of wealth or, you know, like efficiency of scale or whatever you want to call it. He was more like jealous, I would say. And so that kind of going back to Earth, in the context of a sleep podcast. Now, James Cash Penny, those two happen to become best friends in, or really good friends in purgatory. And James got to know Richard Warren Sears and he said, well, the fictional, you know, and this is fiction, of course. He said, well, this guy, he's got a big, he's got a lot of confidence. I don't know what is like his, sometimes he's lacking, he doesn't have best impulse control. And sometimes he just makes decisions and maybe I should keep an eye on him. And then he said, are you sure you want to go to Earth? And Richard Warren Sears was like, we're going. We need to get Bezos and teach him good. And James said, teach him good, the goodness of heart. And he said, so they both ended up going because he said this. So this was season one. They went to Earth. Now let's see some of these episodes here. Vice Heaven, you know, some other titles that we don't kind of use anymore. So they went to Earth. They started searching for Jif. Also, they had to figure out, like, how are we going to meet him? I think at the time, Jif was going through something, too. So he wasn't sure. They also made friends with somebody, but this is interesting, that invented a company called Coffee Q, which now just happens to be the biggest coffee, like you, if you use an app to get your coffee, that was, like, by the way, I didn't get any credit for that in 2013 or 14, that you could just go on your phone and say, this is my regular coffee, I'm coming to get it. But, you know, that's an idea that everybody thought of course. So they went through that season, let's see, test. They found out that Jif wasn't their what is the main character called? My brain's blanking. You know, but the person that their nemesis wasn't just Jif, but there was another nemesis down there. And I'm not exactly sure. It looks like they dealt with Mother Nature, garden gnomes, desert islands. I think it's some place they split up. James fell in love at some point. Jif was undercover, and then they went down. And I'd have to re-listen to season one because it seems like a stretch. I don't know how, if Jif was down there, he was still running an earthly existence. But it ended up that James and Richard Warren Sears ended up down in HE double hockey sticks. And originally when they got down there, it was just like the historical record, you know, from Dante and all those, Milton, all of them, you know, whoever, just like that kind of, who's that painting, that painting person. It was pretty similar to that. You had the circles. You know, it had a little bit of defending your life, where it's like you could go on, you could get a tour of it. And so they went down there, and I'm pretty sure what happened was that RW, just like James had wondered, like used his best judgment and ended up his best judgment, kind of had a chain reaction, and they were just able to get most of the, residents of HE double hockey sticks out of there before it was gone forever, which normally humanity would have put up a cheer, you know. Let's see, Gorebelly, that was, so then, oh, because I think they were dealing with this Hans Zimmer Gorebelly, who was their antagonist, that was the word I was looking for. Oh yeah, there was like a Wizards down there, because I think at one time Wizards were not that good. Maybe they even dealt with Atlantis. It looks like there was an episode called Atlantis Thinks They're So Great. But I remember they met everybody. Like, I think this was this season. They met one of the Skiff. They became friends with the Skiff person. The Furies. I don't know if they ever became friends with the Furies. The Furies were down there, right? Some of those people, that, like the Titans were down there. I'm, you know, maybe. And so this is all what this series coming up is about, just to catch you. I'm just catching you up on what I'm catching you up about, the serial episodic episode, and just buying time for our talent. So they ended up down there, HE double hockey six. They dealt with Hans Zimmer Gorebelly, who was a no, you know, like he actually had his reasons, you know, just like all antagonists. He had been through a lot. Can't really remember what his motivations were, but I remember at the time I was like, well, probably not the best plan you're putting in place, but I can see that you have those motivations. I think there was more, there may have been other, you know, secondary characters whose feelings are now getting hurt that I don't remember. Because I think there were some so good that I put them, I said, well, let me put you away so that when I really need an amazing character. But Mother Nature, maybe. But so then they ended up down. So they, here's like, this is take like a little bit of suspension of belief systems for a second. So just imagine metaphorically that the HE double hockey six, the post not great life, was actually down somewhere, right? And it was a physical place. Maybe, you know, maybe the time space continuum rules were a little bit bent there. But then some sort of reaction happened where it wasn't working out, but there was a hole in one wall, or somebody made a hole in one wall, got as many people through it as they could, or beings, I guess, in this case, and then closed the hole. And then they ended up, it was like in another canyon down somewhere, but separated. So everything on the other side of the hole, gone bye-bye, you know, lava city, core of the earth type stuff. You know, now part of the core of the earth. I mean, I guess that's exactly what happened, you know, retroactively. So then they had all the residents and the employees of HE double hockey sticks in a new place, I'm pretty sure. And they said, what are we going to do? Also, they realized at the time that they said, wait a second, Earth actually need, like Earth relies on this, maybe for motivation, balance, the whole nine yards. And so then they started, they said, well, we got three great minds down here, quote, you know, Jif, RW, Richard Warren Sears, James Cash Penny. What if we start this as a startup, H double hockey six 2.0? And what happened with that was they had, I mean, the idea they had wasn't terrible. Well, I guess it was terrible. But the basic idea was, you know, there's the idea of guardian angels, right? They said, well, the guardian angel's supposed to be there and say, hey, you know, I'm keeping you safe. Or, hey, here's a, if I was making that choice, what would be, what I see as your advocate or your ally is, maybe these would be the options that might be best for you and the other people in your life. That's like a guardian angel to me. And then in cartoons, you usually have that other voice that's tempting you. And they said, that's not, you know what we do in startups? We throw away the paradigm, you know, break the wheel. That was another startup that didn't work out, the Khaleesi startup. And I mean, it worked out for the Stark family. But so they said, okay, well, what if we got all these employees, we got these residents, everybody's kind of learned their, I mean, if you're there, you say, well, of course I've learned my lesson. So they said, wow, Fury, they said, what if we get you back on Earth there and, you could check, you know, get check stuff out, maybe, you know, help people like a guardian angel, like you're like, you're not trying to get them here. You're trying to keep them to make Earth the best place possible and help them make good choices too. You know, with this knowledge of like, oh, well, these are the mistakes I made and this is how it worked out for me. And I guess as an initial thought, it sounds good. But what really happened was that, so they paired every person with like they said, okay, we actually got enough, you know, because of the, you know, time passing and, you know, everybody, they said we got enough people here in H double hockey sticks to match up everybody on Earth with somebody. And they said, let's do it. This is going to be great. And so then what happened was, ended up not everybody was like, most of those people were, their fingers were crossed. They said, oh yeah, I'm going to go right to Earth. I'm going to help it. Janie Sue Jones, you got it. I'm going to help her make the best choices possible. And so that worked out kind of like you would assume, like, it didn't work out so great. So then basically Earth, it didn't work out. Most of Earth, we needed some time. And I forgot what they did to deal with that. I think they did a lot of, I think they had like the Horn of Jericho or Jethro or something, maybe even back then. And I think this is a big time assumption, but I'm already making, you know, plenty of HE double. I think what they did is they de-existed most of Earth to solve it. Cause they said, well, boy, this is a pickle. And that is something also kind of similar to the Good Place, that is like you're, it's neither nor, like you're not going to the good place or the bad place or the middle place. If you're de-existed, that's, like you say, what do you mean? I never heard of that. You say, okay. Like that flashy flasher on Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones movies. So then Earth, there's still a small community of, you know, because one thing is, you know, Earth evolves and stuff. And most of the other stuff on Earth was like, other than, you know, the extra lava, that always comes with those type of situations. They said, okay, well, you know, let's just evolve. So there was one community. So this is season two now. And apparently this came out in 2016. So four years ago, holy moly. And it was interesting because I remember it coming, not to break the wall or whatever, but that I went to a talk, with Brad Bird, and this was in 2016, or maybe it was even 2015, and Brad Bird was kind of saying, I'm like kind of a little bit over dystopia, and made a push of, like, can anyone make anything interesting with utopias? And so then I said to myself, well, I could try. I never let Brad Bird know about this, but so maybe I did on Twitter or something, I don't know, but, so I said to myself, well, that's interesting. He said, well, it sounds like a utopia for a story would be very challenging because it's like you'd say, okay, well, how are you going to tell a story in a place where there's no conflict? And then you could define utopia however you want, but that would be a jumping off point for a sleep podcast. You'd be like, wait a second. That's almost perfect for a sleep podcast, a place with no conflict. paradise. So I said, okay, I could work with that. But then I thought, how am I going to tell any stories without any conflict? Like, that's what drives the story to go from the beginning to the end. And they said, well, if you put Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny anywhere, there's going to be some, even in a utopia. So that was how that idea came about. But what really happened was, I have barely remember, but they basically, I think what happened was, so they were back in, I think they were back in purgatory, but now Jif was with them. Or maybe they were in HE Double Hockey Sticks, but there wasn't much left because they had sent everybody out. But at some point, they realized that Jif had a son, or maybe a grandson or a great-grandson or something, a descendant on Earth in this utopian society. And Jif snuck out of, just like R.W. and James Cash did, to go see his pride, like you say, wow. Now it ends up that at some point during everything that happened originally with our original Earth and HE Double Hockey Sticks 2.0, and then everything going and getting de-existed, Jif Bissos became this mythological being. And I think maybe he left instructions on building utopia. Maybe that was like his side project. And so the last vestige of humanity on Earth was this utopia called Bessos. I mean, I guess if it was in Spanish, it'd be Kisses, which you say, well, that sounds like a utopia to me, or a pretty good name for a utopia. You say, no, Kisses on the cheek. That's what it means. Bessos, kisses and hugs. So, I don't know, R.W. was a little bit worried about Jif making Jif's best decisions, even though he showed over season one that he had a little bit better decision-making ability than R.W. But, and then James got sucked in. So they headed down to this new utopia, Bessos. And at first they were like, is this actual utopia or a prototype for a utopia? And they went down there. And then they tried to get into the utopia because it's quarantined, and they had to play, like, one episode I remember they tried to figure out how to play Settlers of Catan. Then they went to a water treatment plant, which, you need utopia or not, for sure. Then they went through a cave, which had cave paintings about Jif, and so they got caught up on the history. Then they ended up as part of a yearly celebration of the myths around Bessos. What happened next? Then they ended up in trouble, and they had to make a case. I think R.W. was convinced that utopias weren't good. And even though this utopia was almost perfect, near perfect utopia, or near utopia it ended up being, because we're human, you can't have a perfect utopia. On Earth, maybe. I mean, or maybe there was perfect before they got there. So then I think R.W. at some point started to fall in love with someone. Also, he was trying to say, well, don't we need conflict and not good? Like, isn't that what we're, isn't that part of a motivator? Is this going to keep, are we going to keep evolving? Stuff like that. But thought experiment city, I guess I'd say. So let's see if I can remember any of it. So Night Walk, I think that was like walking around at night, doctoring auditions. I don't remember that one. Probably it sounds like, I have no idea. Not choosing a choice. So that was getting towards the theme of the season where it was like, okay, why do you have to choose? Isn't not choosing a choice? Like, do you have to choose the good place or the bad place? And they were mostly exploring things at the time with the residents of this utopia. Now, here's where things go off the rails, in the most sleepy way possible. At the time, so this utopia was going on Earth. Now, the good place, heaven or whatever you want to call it, where the angels live and the supreme being or the mother creator, that still existed. But at the time this story was being told, the supreme being, the main you know, the lead singer of the Supremes, they were on sabbatical. And this isn't retroactive. This was happening at the time. So the Supreme being having to be on sabbatical. And you say, I mean, it's got to happen sooner or later. I mean, there's no infinite light still needs to slow down, you know, probably. I don't know. I'm just telling you what happened. But the Supreme being said to the angels, like, you're angels, you could be trusted. Keep an eye on, there's only this last vestige of humanity and then some pockets of it. You know, keep an eye on things, keep doing good, you know. But angels have a bit of humanity still within them. Also, RW, so they also had phlegalos, plate glass, they call them. And I think that, I don't know if this is exactly how everything got started or the inciting incident within all these other things, but Phlegalos, plate glass, was in, still in love with, was it one of the, was it a harpy or a siren? And I forget which, like, but they had been dating back in the original 1.0, the HE double hockey sticks. And you say that that's how we get, you know, that's how it wasn't terrible for us. But when all this happened, they started dating an angel. Also, angel believed that looked like a lumberjack, like a brawny angel. And of course, Phlegalos was not, you know, he was the original skiff. He skiffed across one of the rivers in one of the circles, not the main one to get there, not Styx, I don't think. But one of the ones where it's not so great. But so he went up there, and then the angels were like, what is even going on that earth, in that utopia, that you can come up to heaven? Because I think it was like during a comedy or show or something. It was definitely like that was like a defending your life moment from that movie. But so he blew into this comedy club, said, what's, you know, what about, my, you know, how can you do this to me, you know, kind of thing. And so then the angels, I think this is what happened. The angels were like, okay, or, you know, you're back on our radar. That doesn't sounds like we got to get some judgments going here. I think, let's see, scrambled metaphors. I mean, that could mean anything. That was one of the episode titles. Then tricky gif, like water for angels, switcheroony, tell, don't show, opposite counsel. Sounds like there was another trial. It sounds like maybe a multi-episode trial. I don't know exactly what happened, but because why? So I guess like you're on this utopia. You want humanity to keep flourishing. And the question is, do we need choices? Because I think in that utopia, you just weren't allowed to make any bad choices. And you'd say, well, that's not a free choice. Do we need free will or not? And so James was, you know, James and RW and Jiff were trying to introduce that. And then some people were like, well, it never sat right with me not being able to make my own choices. And so I think maybe people just stopped choosing, because that was the title of an episode. But it sounds like then there's probably like a bunch of antics, tell, don't show, opposite counsel, plain desolation. And then, so what happened was, once the angels got wind of this, and then they realized, wait a second, aren't you the people that were involved in the, you know, you closed out HE Double Hockey Sticks 1, created HE Double Hockey Sticks 2, which we didn't even get a chance to shut down. And before we got a chance to do that, you also mostly shut down Earth, and that didn't work out. And so we've got our eyes on you, our angel eyes. And also, you know, there's like, sometimes there's tension between, I mean, you say, who are you calling, you know, your supreme being? You know, I mean, I'm not saying that about the main one, okay? Holy, like, but these secondary supreme beings, human reaction would be, supreme being says who? Excuse me, you know, I'm walking here or whatever. and the supreme being say, oh, how little do you know, you humans? And I think there was some, you know, a lot of debating, a lot of jockeying, maybe a case about it that ended up, they said, well, here's what we know so far. You know, we have to make a choice here because we're the supreme beings and, you know, the big boss is on sabbatical. So I guess let's just, let's de-exist this earth because, you know, it's mostly de-existed. And now it looks like this is starting again. Won't it save everybody a lot of time and headache? Just de-existed. And to them, that made the most sense. Now, they may know what we don't know. And I think, and I can't jump back that far in the season, but to say, okay, well, you know, there's billions of stars and stuff. We're not just in charge of you, Earth, with your egos and your supreme who questions. So they said, okay, we're just going to de-exist Earth. And now James, so then they came to Earth, or a contingent did, and they were getting set up for it. And then they said, well, this isn't really, is this one, is this angel-like behavior? This is James Cashvenny, Richard Warren Sears, and Jif. They said, one, is this, one, are you sure you don't want to wait for the supreme being? And I think enough stuff had already happened. They were like, let's just get this over with so we don't get in any trouble. They probably already violated some rule. And they said, well, we're going to get written up for this anyway. You know, might as well clean up, you know, clean it up first and say, oh, well, we threw the glass out. It was broken. We cleaned it all up and threw it out. You spilled the milk, broke the glass, but now it's all fixed. But that glass isn't around anymore. We didn't drop it, actually, either. It fell or something. Can't speak for the angels, but that would just be what I might say. But James Cashvenny, Richard Warren Sears says, one, this is an angel-like behavior. Two, are you sure? They said, yeah, we're sure. So then, the one thing that Titans of Industry are good at is making moves, you know, those kind of things. So don't worry. Don't worry if you're worried right now. Hopefully you're snuggled in bed. So what they did was, so Bezos was on this plane. So they set up this big de-existence thing, like a horn. Like I think there's a horn of Jericho or Jethro. That was like, this is like a bigger version of that. So they said, we're going to de-exist everything. And then they said, well, for some reason, this is all getting live streamed. Again, I think this was just one of the things with the Utopia. They were into live streaming. So James and everybody said, well, this isn't like the most compassionate response, especially with the live stream. And they said, can't you do anything to buff, you know, help with that? And the angel said, actually, like, if you've never seen it, heard an angel sing, it's like super comforting. Like beyond super comforting and, you know, fills you with like infinite light and joy and relaxation and not thoughts about impending de-existence. And James said, okay, why don't you sing? And then they said, why don't you sing a couple numbers? Now, meanwhile, this big de-existence horn or a piece of equipment was there. And RW had been making small talk for a while. And again, the supreme being was on sabbatical. Don't worry about that part either. And RW said, okay, so this is the thing you're going to use to de-exist all of us and best all of humanity in the utopia called Bezos, a near utopia. And the angel, you know, angels naturally are a little gullible sometimes, because especially ones that have been only working in heaven. And RW said, oh, well, so what do you got, that on a tripod or something? And the angel said, yeah. And RW said, this is great angel singing, isn't it? And the angel said, oh, yeah. Can never, believe it or not, I can't get enough of it. And RW said, yeah, let's just sit here and enjoy it. And then something like this, like, I wonder if everybody in heaven is enjoying it. I always wondered, like, you know, people always point everywhere when they're pointing to heaven. Like, where would you point? Like, if it was accurate, you know? And then the angel said, you know, right there, at the edge of the, like, you know, Uranus's belt or whatever. And RW said, hardy har har. And he said, no, I said Ursa Minor. And R.W. said, oh, like, okay, so right over there, huh? And the angel said, oh, yeah. And then R.W. said, okay, so this is like a, this is a floating head tripod. Wow, a smooth motion on this thing. And the angel said, yeah. And then R.W. said, oh, okay, well, wow, this is good angel singing. Why don't you watch, let's just watch and relax and watch it. And the angel said, okay, you're right. And then I'll de-exist everything. And then R.W. kind of did the unthinkable, but when you say, well, what are the options? R.W. took the de-existence horn, pointed it towards heaven, now the supreme beings on sabbatical, you know, so, and poofity poofity poo, heaven was de-existed. And this took like a few minutes for, I mean, more than a few minutes for everybody to get adjusted to. And, you know, there was, I think also maybe RW de-existed the de-exister. I can't think, I'm trying to think what I would do next in that situation. Because otherwise you'd probably be de-existed, you know, and, you know, it'd be trouble. So then everybody had very strong feelings about that. Even James and Jeff said, well, you saved us. But not even, he goes, so even in human history, I don't know if any other humans have, or post-humans have gotten rid of two HE double hockey sticks, most of humanity, and the supreme paradise and the homestead of the ultimate, you know, the mother creator or supreme being of your choice. And R.W. said, yep, somebody had to do it. And it was a lot of like, wait a second, did you really de-exist heaven kind of thing? And then kind of people walking around, you know, holding their heads and R.W. saying, yep. And then, I guess everybody basically had to adjust because they said, well, okay, well, what are our options now? That's de-existed. Also, the de-existence horns de-existed, so you can't de-exist RW. Also, we have this near utopia filled with wonderful human beings that is sufficient. Why don't we welcome everybody in and live together happily ever after? And I think that's kind of how it ended. It was like, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. Maybe we could all get along. Beings from HE double hockey sticks, one that had, you know, relocated a few times, but become friends with Jif and James and humans. And so then they went into this utopia. Now, that was kind of how season two ended. But I mean, what I didn't think about, like, it was a good thing the season was over, was like sooner or later, the being is going to get back from, or going to be back from sabbatical and be like, wait a second, isn't that what the heck? I took a right at the Milky Way and, you know, I thought of my like favorite sitting chair. And now I'm just in a blank space. I mean, you've seen it in movies, like Star Wars type movies where they jump somewhere and they say, well, where is it? You know, I don't think there was any rubble left behind because it's totally de-existed. So, you know, the supreme being probably is just like, let me check my, spirit dar. Oh, this is 0.0 unless I point it at myself. But it didn't take, you know, when they're on sabbatical, they're on sabbatical. Like, if you're going to do self-care, you know, even if you're supreme self-care, you say, no, I'm out of OOF or whatever. Not checking that email. Even if it's, you know, some sort of internal sense that the balance was restored in this case. But so once the supreme being got everything figured out, probably did some rebuilding, you know, reconstruction type stuff. But that didn't happen, you know, we weren't there for any of that. Like, meanwhile, everybody's in the utopia. But then at some point, Richard Warren Sears, James Cashpenny, and Jif did find themselves back in purgatory. And, you know, they're not supreme beings, so they just got back there. And Richard Warren Sears and Jif Bissos, they kind of got readjusted to life in purgatory. I mean, I don't know what the timeline was because this is not an Earth timeline. but they got readjusted. They started getting the internet and news again and found out that there was a planet very similar to Earth called Hearth. Now, James was down. James was sleeping, but also would wake up and be like, we de-existed heaven and two H-E double hockey sticks. And, you know, so James was more needed some time. Jif found out, I guess he had spent so much time with RW, that he found out there was someone on Earth, the new, the regular, like a redundant Earth, just in case. You know, that's the kind of stuff Supreme beings think of, backup. Supreme, you know, it's just say, well, I got a backup in the cloud and one, you know, an organic one. Yeah, fully running, very similar. Small differences. The metaphor RW or Jif used was like Royale with cheese. So Jif was reading about this person on Earth, we'll just call it Earth though, ZBiff, who was founded this social media shopping platform, became ubiquitous. And in that timeline, you know, not exactly hard to imagine. Came with some other things, and Jif was like, this isn't how you run a social media shopping platform that's good for everybody, you know. And maybe Jif had learned some lessons and said, well, maybe I'm going to go back to Hearth and teach this ZBiff some lessons about, I don't know, that's what Jif, because that part was before the season started. So Jif was gone. RW said, well, I think Jif snuck out, but RW figured out. Now, RW's not about to go anywhere alone. So he woke up James eventually and said, James, we got to go get Bezos, because he went to go get ZBiff back on Earth. He explained everything that I just explained to you to James. And they realized that Jif had been keeping notes of, like, a lot of these pockets of not getting along that go on this social media shopping platform. Like, I don't know, what have we covered so far this year? You know, pets going places and not getting cleaned up, parking. And that, so then, what else? Oh, straws, you know. So they said, well, we got to go down there. And and they said, okay, well, our best plan is to try to go to all these, this list, just work through this list of all these communities that need a little bit of help with resolving these things. And either we'll find Jif or we'll catch up with Jif or we'll get to ZBiff first or at the same time as Jif, and we'll help Jif not get in trouble. And so that's where we are. This is another episode of our Serial Modular series, Get Bezos. James, buddy. I'm really enjoying this rest. We really needed this break. Richie, taking a break was the best idea. I'm going to get back in bed here and get comfortable. Oh, buddy. Tell me how comfortable you're getting. I'm going to get comfortable over here. Yeah, I'm pulling the blanket up and I'm just rolling over, moving my pillows around. I'm going to move over an inch or two and I'm going to pull that right up to my chin and go back to sleep. Good night. Good night, buddy. All right. I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Matt, Alex, and Kristen. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Jeff with a G, David, and CJ. Thank you. Thanks. Good night, Dan. Lauren, Justin, thanks, good night, Shailene, Mayor, and Rachel, thank you, good night, Lily, Kelly, and Britta, thank you, and good night, Kevin, Andrea, and Laura, thanks, good night, Jaylin, Parisa, and Keen, thank you, and good night, Jasmine, Jane, and Christopher, thank you, and good night. Quinn, Misha, and Lydia, thank you, and good night. Chrissy, Emma, and Veronica, thank you, and good night. Laura, Carolyn, and Nicole, thank you, and good night. Amanda, Shelby, and Chow, thank you, and good night. Donna, Meyer, Lemon, And Justin, thanks, and good night. Tess, Justin C, and Charlotte, thanks, and good night. Danny with an I, Patrick and Jess, thanks, and good night. Kristen, Christina, and Jonas, thanks, and good night. Madison and Nicholas, thanks, and good night. And Mitzi and Jen with two N's, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep with Me is able to be a free podcast and not behind a paywall because the people that support the show through the sponsors, the merch, supporting the show directly, grows this podcast by people spreading the word. So I couldn't do it without you. And here's a podcast I want to let you know about. Thanks. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.